asked him some questions. He said, I want to know about this and I want to know about that. Jesus changed the subject pretty quick. He said, listen, here's what you need to know, Nicodemus. If you want to get in on what I'm offering, you're going to have to be born again.
Right.
Now, understand something. This blew Nicodemus' mind. How can a man be born when he is old? That's the question he asked. Can he enter again the second time into his mother's womb? And looking back, hindsight's 20/20, we think that sounds kind of foolish. But in reality, we've probably been thinking the same thing. Don't make no sense. How can you be born a second time? Jesus says, you don't understand, Nicodemus. There's two births that are important to your life. That is, to be born of water, natural birth, and to be born of the Spirit. He said, here's how you're going to know when the Spirit gets involved. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going, but you know it's there. Can I tell you like this? When the Spirit gets involved in something in your life, nobody will have to convince you that the Spirit of God is involved in whatever it is that's going on in your life. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? I remember years ago, I was riding down the road with Pastor Brian Cordwell, and I asked him, I said, Brother Brian, I believe the Lord has called me to pastor at some point, and I got all these different things going on, and I just really don't know which direction to go. And I asked him, I said, how did you know that Charity Hill Baptist Church was the place for you? Here's what he said. I'll never forget this, because it almost made me mad, because the way he answered it made it even more complicated. Here's what he said. He said, the same way I knew my wife was going to be my wife. I said, what in the world does that mean? He said, I just knew. I can't explain it to you, but I knew. He said, when God places you somewhere, you'll know. Hey, listen to me. When God is at work in a situation in your life, you won't have to ask nobody if God's involved in it. By the way, when you really get born again, you won't have to question you won't have to ask everybody what they think about your salvation. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
Listen, there's something. There is a Spirit of God. I understand we're not saved on feelings, but thank God there's a Spirit of God that's moved in on the inside of me. Hey, there's times when I can feel Him. Amen. I'm glad for that. And Jesus continues his conversation with Nicodemus. I like what Nicodemus said in verse number 9, because that's such an honest question that he asked. Here's what he said to him. He said, how can these things be? Here's what he was saying. How is this possible? This don't make no sense. I can't see it. I can't touch it. I don't understand it. Can I tell you something? Me neither. I've never seen God face to face. But like the wind blowing through the treetops, I've seen where He's been and what He's done. I've never held Jesus in my hand, but Jesus has held my hand through some hard times and rough situations. I've never sat down and had a conversation with Jesus, but a lot of times I've sat down and had a conversation with Jesus. Are y'all listening to me this morning? I'm saying that Nicodemus didn't understand, and I don't understand everything about this, but what I do know is that Jesus has given us the right answer. He has offered to us salvation. And when we get down to verse number 16, I believe he defines that in the most profound way possible. And that's where we're going to be at this morning. John chapter 3, verse number 16. I just want to preach for a little while on salvation. Let's stand together as we read this verse. John chapter 3 and verse number 16, the Bible says this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. Lord, I want to thank You for the opportunity to stand, Lord, behind the sacred desk in front of Your people
and preach the blessed word of God. I pray this morning, God, that you help me to do that in an effective way. Lord, uphold me physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. God, get involved in this. Lord, overcome me by your power and do what you came to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You be seated this morning. Now, I know what some of y'all are thinking. I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, preacher, I'm saved. I've been saved since 1978 or 1985 or 1995 or 2012 or whatever it is. I've been saved for a long time, preacher. I don't need no preaching on salvation. But can I intervene in your life right here and tell you that if you got excited about the fact that you were saved every once in a while, your life might just be a little bit better. Listen, if you've gotten over your salvation, I say, hey, listen to me. You need to get back up under it for a little while and let God work on your heart. Whatever you do in your life, don't never forget that there was a time when you were lost and undone and justifiably on your way to hell, and God showed up and saved your soul.
Amen. That'll excite you.
John 3 and verse 16. Man, this verse is so... Probably everybody in this room can quote it. But I want to break some things apart about our salvation this morning and try to preach to you for just a little while. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. First thing I want you to see in this verse is the authority by which your salvation was given. The first two words of this verse... Hey, listen, if we didn't have that, the rest of it wouldn't matter. Look at what your Bible says. For God. For God. This salvation did not come from the pastor. It didn't come from the church. It didn't come from the upper echelons of the religious world. It didn't come from some charlatan who was trying to purport himself to be something. Our salvation was given through and by the authority of God Almighty. Jehovah, listen to me. Yahweh, Elohim, the creator of the universe, the same one that in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, in the beginning God, that same God is the one whose authority gives you salvation.
Amen.
Talking about authority, listen, if your salvation came by my authority, it would only be worth as much as I could put behind it. And friend, that ain't a lot. Listen, you don't have to follow me around long to figure out that if you're following me, you're going to be disappointed because I am a fallible human being just like everybody else in this place. And I promise you this, if you base your salvation off of me, it's going to be short-lived. I'm going to let you down. But I'm thankful that I've got a God that's never changed. He's never stopped. He's never ceased. He's never sidestepped. He's never let us down. He's never been a day when God hadn't been God. And there's never going to be a day when God's not God. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all need to get a little woke up this morning because my salvation is given by the authority of God. For God. The authority. What about the reasoning? Here's the question that leaves me with. God, if I believe that God is the one that gave salvation, my next question is why? The reasoning of our salvation. Hey, them youngins ain't bothering me. Don't y'all worry about that. Hey, listen. Thank God for some youngins in the church. Amen. Hey, listen. Them youngins bothering you, go on down the road somewhere. They got some churches down the road. They ain't got no youngins in them. You won't ever have to worry about it. Just go right on down there with them. But for around here, I like the sound of children. Amen. A whole lot better than I like the sound of not having them. Amen right there. It don't have nothing to do with my message, but I could preach 4 hours on that right there. Hey, listen. A church where you can hear the voice of a baby is a church where God is moving.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. The authority for God. The reasoning so loved the world. Think about this for a minute. Why did God lower himself into the form of a man, wrap himself in a body of flesh, suffer, spend 33 years living bound by flesh, ended by suffering beyond anything any other man has suffered, for the purpose that you
could be saved. Why? There's got to be a reason. Right here is our reason. For God so loved. But wait, there's more. Man, if it weren't for the next two words, none of us would be included in this umbrella. Do you understand? Right. Don't say for God so loved Israel. And don't say for God so loved righteous men. And don't say for God so loved perfection. Don't say for God so loved rich people. Don't say for God so loved people from this country or that country. Or people with this genetic or that genetic. The Bible says for God so loved the world. Hallelujah right there. That ought to get you excited. You know why? Because the world's where I'm at. Amen. That's where he found me at. If he hadn't have loved the world, he would have never found Scott.
That's right.
I like the way Paul said it in the book of Romans. He said that God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, listen, he didn't wait for me to get better. He died for me so I could get better. Amen right there. He didn't wait for me to get right. He did the work that it took to get me right. He opened the door for me to have a relationship with him. He didn't wait for me to catch up to him. He dropped back and got a hold of me. Hallelujah. Listen, when Jesus was hanging on the cross of Calvary, he had one hand reaching up to God where man could not reach, and one hand reaching down to man. Listen to me, and listen, he joined us together because he loved us.
Amen.
For God so loved the world. When I was unlovable, listen to me, I need you to understand something. There is no reason why God would love me. I gave God every reason to hate me. Are y'all hearing me? If I was God, thank God I'm not. Because if I was him, I wouldn't have wanted nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
But he loved me so much that he bought my pardon before I ever accepted it.
Amen.
The authority, the reasoning. But let's talk about the method. For God so loved the world. That's wonderful. I'm glad God loved the world. I'm glad he wanted to save them. But listen to me. There's a difference in wanting to do something and being able to get it done. Y'all with me? Say amen. I mean, I want to do some stuff that I physically can't do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And the older I get, the more I find myself in that position. I want to do a lot of things that I just don't have the ability to do. Y'all hear me? I want to build some things that I don't have the ability to build. I want to create some stuff that I can't create. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
I want to make $1 million, but I clearly do not possess the ability to do so. I want to build a shop outside my house. Y'all hear, and listen, in my mind, this thing is almost a castle. I'm talking about, you can do anything in this shop. I got car lifts. I'm talking about hydraulic presses and great big CNC machines. And every, y'all know what I'm talking about? Me and y'all, Father's Day, hello. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say amen right there. I can make some stuff in there. I can impress somebody with that. I want it. But it ain't happening. I don't have the ability. But God so loved the world that he figured out a way to get them saved. That he gave his only begotten son. The method of your salvation is important, because if you're hinging your salvation on anything besides the shed blood of Jesus Christ, your salvation is worthless. You missed it. You ain't got it. The only thing that has the ability and the power to save is the blood of Jesus. And God figured out that was the only way. And he went about doing the work that it took to get it done. He so loved us that he gave. He gave of himself his only begotten son. Listen to me. He died for your sins.
Amen.
the method. Say, preacher, what is it that saves? Well, the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God didn't just want you to be saved. He made you able to be saved. He created a way. Hey, listen, like the song says, He made a way where there was no way. Hallelujah. There was no way for you to get in, but He did the work that was necessary to get the job done.
Amen.
The authority, the reasoning, the method. What about this? The type of people for whom salvation was given. Listen to this. For God so loved who? The world. That He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in Him. Think about this. Jesus didn't die for just somebody. He died for everybody.
Amen.
Whosoever. What kind of people can get saved, preacher? The kind that are lost.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of people can get in? All of them. Whosoever. I thank God for whosoever. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God for whosoever. Because listen, if it wasn't for whosoever, I'd be out. If you put a specific set of parameters on salvation, chances are I would not have fit them. And you wouldn't either.
That's right.
Just think about that for a minute. If you had to do or be X, Y, Z. Now understand, I'm talking about through the eyes and judgment of God. Not in your own mind, in reality. If you had to be or do certain specific things to qualify for salvation, man, we'd be in trouble.
That's right.
A lot of y'all have been saved for a long time. Think about this right here. What if He had said that whosoever who has never ingested a drop of alcohol believeth in Him? Hey, y'all listen to me. We'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
What if He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever that has never committed a sin believeth in Him should not perish? That whosoever hadn't missed too many days of church over the course of their life, what if He did, you know what He could have said? He could have said it like this. For God so loved Israel that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever of the nation of Israel believeth in Him should not perish. That's what He could have said. Or we'd be in trouble. I had somebody ask me one time, said, preacher, how do I know if I'm a Gentile? I said, well, are you a Jew? He said, no. I said, well, congratulations. You're a Gentile. What if He would have said, for God so loved the world that whosoever of this generation believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? We'd be in trouble. All hope would have been lost. Y'all listen to me?
I'm talking about the type of people for whom salvation was given. It's us. It's us.
The only reason that He had to specify that collectiveness is because of people like me. Because if He hadn't said whosoever, I would have been excluded. The only reason He had to use that language, it's not for the religious people. It's not for the perfect people. It's not for the Israelites. It's for me.
That's right.
The only way I could have gotten in is if everybody could get in.
Thank God it's for whosoever. We've got a crowd out here in the religious world that's trying their best to set a set of parameters on who can get saved and who can't. They're trying their best to decide that this group has been predestined and this group hadn't, and this group can, that if you do this and you do that, then you can get in, but if you don't, you can't. By the way, we got a whole crowd in the religious world that says once you get saved, be careful that you don't do X, Y, or Z, or you'll be out again. You have to get back right. Thank God that ain't the truth. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God I can't give away my salvation by my sin, or I wouldn't have had it 5 minutes. Amen. I'm glad that I'm saved by grace and not by my own works. Whosoever. The type of people for whom salvation is given. Then let me show you this. The response required to accept salvation. Listen to this. This is where we get directional here. We get specific. I can't tell you how many people have asked me this question over the years. How do I get saved? We're fixing to tell you right here. First of all, you got to be part of whosoever. Good news. You're in. Now there's the question, what do I do? Look at the next word. Whosoever believeth in Him. You know what you got to do to get saved? You got to come to the realization that God is God. That He has the power to save. And put your faith in Him. We are saved by grace through faith. Yep. What do I do? Faith. You know what faith is? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do I have faith, preacher? Well, I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I look at this bench and I say, if I sit down on this bench, I believe it'll hold me. Now that's a good statement, but I've really not yet put my faith in that statement. If I stand over here and I say, you know, I believe if I sit down on this, it'll hold me. Well, that sounds good, but I really have not put my faith in that statement until I let my weight rest upon this bench. Now I can say, I have faith that this will hold me. Hey, some of you believe that God exists and that's good. And some of you may even believe that God can save and that's good. But until you put your faith, until you rest your eternal destination in Him, until you sit back and say, not only do I believe that Jesus can get me to heaven, I'm counting on it, I'm putting my stock in it, I'm not looking for something else, I'm not trying to go somewhere else, I'm going to let Him take me, then you have gotten to the place of faith.
Amen.
The method is faith. That's why, hey listen, that's why in Romans 10 and 9, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised Him from the dead, what's that doing? That's show, all that is a show, a testament of your faith. There is a statement made, a confession of the Lord. What are you saying? I'm saying it's not enough to believe that Jesus existed. You must understand that Jesus is Lord. How can you get saved by anybody that ain't Lord? And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. I don't just believe that Jesus existed, I believe that Jesus is alive now. That's why I believe He can save me. Because when I die, He'll still be alive. And He'll still have the power to save. And when my grandkids, grandkids, grandkids die, He'll still be alive. And He'll still have the power to save. Are y'all listening to me? He's been raised from the dead.
Amen.
The response required. And then I want you to see this. I'm almost done. The result of accepting salvation. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him, listen to this, what happens next, should not perish. And just in case you was wondering what he was saying right there, he added something to it. But have everlasting life. Instead of dying, you're going to live forever. Heck, man, right there. Listen, the result of salvation is that I'm supposed to die. There's supposed to come a time when I cease to exist. Are y'all listening to me? But instead of that, I can't do that. So instead, I have everlasting life. I'm going to live forever. The result of my salvation is not just that I got better. It's not just that I got smarter. It's not just that my life's better. But I have everlasting life.
Amen.
It's never going to be everlasting. That means it lasts forever. That means there ain't no time when it ain't lasting no more. Are y'all listening to me? That means it just keeps on going and going and going and going and going. When does it end, preacher? It don't. It just keeps lasting forever and ever. Listen to me. I'll only be saved as long as God is God. And He said, I am the Lord, and I'll change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And I'd like to say this morning, by faith, I become a son of Jacob. In the family of God, as surely as if I was born to His own flesh. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, thank God. And I will not be consumed. But I have everlasting life. Heard somebody say the other day, I'm fixed to be done, Hunter's coming to the piano. I heard somebody say the other day, all good things must come to an end, and nothing lasts forever. Hey, in this world that may be true, but I got something good that's never going to come to an end.
That's right.
It's going to last forever because it's been given to me by the authority of God. I want you to stand together this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.